Ephesians chapter 3, starting with verse 10. Peg Bracken asks the question. Oh, I better turn that on. Why does a slight tax increase cost you $200 and a substantial tax cut save you 38 cents? How many remember Milton Berle? All right, I'm in the right place here. He posed the question, if bank tellers can count, why are there 10 slots and only 2 tellers? Algis Jodicus, he asked, can a blue man sing the whites? You might want to write that down and think about it later. And finally, Mork asked Mindy, why do they call it rush hour when nothing moves? Well, this morning, I'm going to remove the partition between the seen and the unseen to help grapple with that ancient question of why. Whenever something difficult or disgusting happens, we throw our heads back, look up into the heavens, and we cry, why? Well, this morning's text is going to reveal to us that there's more going on than, well, the story's not over yet. There's more to this whole thing. You might be interested in finding out that your life is a lot more intricate than you have assumed it to be. Your life is much more valuable to the whole scheme of things than you have yet considered. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 10 through 13. Let's finish this up first. You see, you and I are part of an ingenious plot, a plan of divine origin. And it's not yet seen what it all means, but it will one of these days be revealed. And when it is, everyone and everything that has participated in history will bow our knees and we will declare his perfection and say, wow, we had no idea. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 10 through 13. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory. Father, this is an awesome word that you have given to us today. I pray that we'll hear it clearly, that it will resonate down through our bones. There's not one wasted life here today. There's not one wasted ounce of pain or joy or suffering or elation. All of it you will use to bring honor and glory to your name. If we will but be patient for a little while longer, if we will but lend ourselves, lean into this thing that you are doing, we can get over onto the joy part of it and off of the stress part of it. Would you open our eyes a little wider than they've been so far? Would you open our hearts and our minds that we might comprehend what we've been called to, created for, live to become? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The context that this appears in is where Paul has been talking to the Ephesians about Jesus uniting the Jews and the Gentiles into one great family. We Gentiles have been grafted into the family line of the Jews so that we can say, Abraham is our father. We have become Jewish by our confession of faith in Jesus Christ. Now, this was accomplished, of course, through the Lord. His blood makes us one blood. Can you say, oy vey? We are Yiddish. We are Jewish. We are children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob because Jesus has brought us right into the family. Now, for those of us who have been raised with this truth, we can rather take it for granted. But think back to the day when this was an absolutely radical thought to both Jews and to Gentiles. Little Jewish children were taught, you don't go into Gentile homes. You just don't do it. If you were out shopping and you thought you might have rubbed elbows with a few Gentiles, you had to run home and wash. That's how ingrained all of this was. We don't eat the same food. We don't dress the same way. We don't go the places they go. There was a great separation. And the Gentiles felt that prejudice that would come from the Jews. And we, even today, you have anti-Semitism that can be vile and strong and bitter. And there was always this separation. You had God's people, and then you had everybody else. So imagine when the announcement is made, the divider no longer exists. We are now one family. No longer two, Jews and Gentiles. The story of the Old Testament was God was ever trying to get the attention of the Jews. They were his people. He was trying to get them to come home to the roots, to the faith of their father Abraham, coming to serve the Lord. He would bless them. They would backslide. He would punish them. They would repent. He would bless them. They would backslide. He would punish them. They would repent. He would bless them. They would backslide. And on and on. That's the story of the whole Old Testament over and over again. That cycle would run. Yet in that storyline were hidden some mysteries. There was more than just the drama everybody could see. More than just the ups and downs of that roller coaster. To the casual observer, they wouldn't have picked up on this. Well, who was observing it, Pastor? Who was looking on? Our text tells us, rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. Part of what's going on here, of everything we can see, part of it is not for our benefit. Was it Shakespeare that said, all the world's a stage and we are merely actors in it? He didn't know he was speaking biblically, or maybe he did. We are on a great stage, and there are others watching what is going on. And as they have observed down through time, down through history, God's intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. Angels, and I think demons fit in that category as well, they're watching to see what happens, to see how all this turns out, to see if God is the great God that he says that he is. The angels are banking on the fact that God can really come across with what he's promised. The demons, on the other hand, are saying, there ain't no way. I met me some of those people. There's no way this thing's going to end well. Have you seen the debates on the presidential race? There ain't no way this lands well. And so they've placed their bets with their own eternities at stake. The angels have sided with God, Now the demons have sided against him. At creation, all of the angels roared with approval as God pronounced, "It is very good." Oh, yeah, what a party they had in heaven. It is good. It's very, very, very good. But then the day Adam and Eve fell, the demons ran out into the street and they started trash talking and say, "It's all over now. So much for that perfect creation. They have sinned and they will die." Then God provided a sacrifice and covered that first couple with a new set of clothes. And suddenly the angels could wipe their brow and breathe again. Oh, there's hope. Oh, there's hope. God is going to receive a sacrifice on their behalf. So it went back and forth throughout history. People became corrupt, but Noah built an ark. The people built a tower in Babel, but God called Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees. Back and forth. Not only did they observe, but they battled back and forth. The angels on God's side, the demons on Satan's side. And God would send forth his word, and then the demons would rush in to try and take back territory. And back and forth they would battle. And always, in that Old Testament sense, it was the Jews that the angels were for. And the demons always had the Gentiles working for them with their paganism and their filth and their immorality. And back and forth it went. And back and forth it went. So that the angels battled the demons as much participants as observers. Not just sitting back watching what happens to us, but in behind the scenes, the angels come alongside to help the people of God to be encouraged, to be strengthened, to be provided for. The dark forces move in to increase temptation and make sure that people trip up and have a difficult time in it all. So even this morning, there's a battle going on. No wonder you're tired this morning. You've been in a war zone. No wonder you feel stressed at times. There's a war going on. And it can be wearisome. It can be very hard. The angels, they don't know the plan any more than you and I do. They're on assignment from heaven. And in any given battle that they participate in, they might even feel like a failure. They might have to say, "You know what? That didn't go so well." They go back to heaven and they say, "Why is it, God, that the demons got the better of us in this one?" One ingenious fellow wrote a book about Jesus' guardian angel. And he paints a terrific scene when Jesus is being crucified. And this guardian angel just goes off to the side and just writhes in pain, feeling like a loser, feeling as though he had failed to do his job. And as the demons cackled and as they gloried in this greatest victory of all, Jesus hanging on the cross, his guardian angel just felt so totally defeated and questioned why he had chosen as he had. Has that ever happened to you? "God, I did the right thing. Lord, I did my best. I understand that there are times when I blow it, and surely bad circumstances follow that. I understand that. Consequences. But this time, Lord, I was doing the best I knew how to do. I gave it my all. How did it end up so bad? How does God's team ever lose a battle, a game, a contest?" for those celestial beings. History itself must be like us watching a spellbinding movie. We're watching, we're on the edge of our seat. The hero goes down. He looks to be dead. Oh, there's no hope now. Or that big game. It's been going back and forth and back and forth. There's only 5 seconds left on the clock. The other team's got the ball on the goal line. They've only got 6 inches to go. This is the play that will decide our whole season. But what we're talking about this morning isn't a game. It's life and death. It's all of eternity. It's heaven and hell. One of the mysteries that God sewed into the fabric of that Old Testament was the law. Ever it was obey the law or die. Your only means of being right with God was the law. The law, the law, the law. And so ever the angels were trying to get the people of God to act like the people of God, and always the demons were tripping them up. And all the demons were having a wonderful time. Because every time the law said, thou shalt not, the flesh roared up and said, yeah, just watch me. And the demons just loved bringing out every temptation you can imagine. And so they were having a heyday. And one of the burdens that the angels had carried throughout the Old Testament was trying to get people to act right, to act godly, to act righteous. But there was a mystery hidden even within the law. Can you imagine the day that it was revealed that the law never saved anyone? When Jesus declared grace, the angels must have been beside themselves. They must have been out of their gourd as they ran around and shouted, woo-hoo! It's not about the law. And the demons must have been, what do you mean it's not about the law? That's what we got to condemn everybody over. We got these lists of things that everybody has done. And we know when it comes to eternity, we're going to show up there and we're going to say, you can't let Joe Schmo into heaven because back on April 14th, he this and he that. Oh, we got all kind of lists. And all of a sudden, their lists were useless. All of the sin in one great tidal wave of the blood of Christ was just washed right off the record. Oh, how the angels rejoiced! What wisdom! What a surprise! What glory to God! Oh, Lord, you are awesome! Had everybody looking at that law, the law, the law, the law, so important, so important, so important. Doesn't mean anything. And the demons must have cried, foul! You can't do that. And all God had to do was open up the Word and show them from the very beginning, this was the plan. Have you never read Isaiah 53? By His wounds we were healed. He bore our sins and our sorrows on the cross. It was in there all the time. All of that sacrifice and law stuff was just a front, a ruse, a type, looking forward to the real salvation won by Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. That most epic of scenes, when the demons gathered, when the Son died, when they cackled their little hearts out, and oh, as the angels mourned, and as they followed the body to the tomb, and as they hovered at a distance, watching the enemy rejoice. But you know what happened, don't you? 3 days later, up from the grave he arose. Hallelujah! And oh, how the angels danced, and how they sang, and how the demons ran and hid once again. He is risen! Hallelujah! What a mystery revealed! Hallelujah! Hidden so well that even the authorities in heaven had no idea. Oh, how it looks so miserable. Has that ever happened in your life? You can't add up the events recently. Why is it so hard? Why has it taken so long? This can't possibly end well. He's hidden a few mysteries, my friend. For each of us, as well as for all of us. And he will reveal in his time. Oh, God loves a surprise ending. God loves a revelation. And they come best when we are at our lowest. And he allows for us to writhe at times. He allows for us to cry. He allows for us to writhe under the pain. The longer the night spent in tears, the greater the joy that comes in the morning. Hallelujah. 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 Now, when Paul tells us in our text about the Jews and the Gentiles, verse 10, his intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realm. See, the church, when Jesus rose from the dead, the church was born, grace is alive. That's what he's showing all of those rulers. Aha! That's what I was up to all that time. And they had to go, I didn't see that coming. I had no idea. I had no clue. This is greater than I had anticipated. Always there was God's people, there were the Jews, and no others. The angels went absolutely nuts the day they found out that God had planned all along to save the Gentiles too. It was always Jews and Gentiles. The demons had the Gentiles in their hip pocket, and they were picking the Jews off one at a time. Ping, 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 ping. And then God comes around the back door and says, you know what? It'd be too simple a thing just to save Jews. The Gentiles are my people too. Could you imagine being an angel and you've been working for God and you've always been slanted toward the Jews because that was God's plan, that was his thing. Then all of a sudden you find out, whoa, he's not just saving the people with the law trying to do good. He's going to go out there and get the scum of all the earth, the worst of the worst, and he's going to wash them with his grace and make them his own treasured possession as well. What a great God we serve. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because I am that one that was undeserving of any kindness or favor. I was the one who was deserving of the punishment to come. But Jesus, through his mercy and his grace, extended his love to me. That's when the angels went running out into the streets, dancing and glorifying the great mercy and grace of our God. The demons, well, they were once again dumbfounded, aghast, speechless, and left feeling a little defeated. Well, gee, I thought the Gentiles were ours. I thought they were the tares. I thought, no, you thought wrong. Again, our text says, his intent was that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms according to his eternal purpose. See, it's an eternal purpose. It's not a 2016 purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's take the next couple verses. In him, Jesus, through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory. You are part of a cosmic drama. In Christ, you have been brought onto God's team. Just like any angel that works in heaven, you now are on heaven's side. You're on heaven's team. And in this great drama that is being displayed and played out in front of those heavenly authorities and rulers, you play a part. You play a role. And that's why you can boldly march into the throne room of God and ask for anything you need as you serve the Lord and fulfill His purposes. You're on His team. And the coach will give you his ear. He will give you his knowledge. He'll give you his strength. He'll loan anything to you that you need because you're now on the winning side. You have been brought into the family by the blood and by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. You've been grafted in. You've been drafted in. If Abraham had standing with God and could speak to him as his friend, so can you. I'm sure you have marveled like I have how the whole world goes out to the Pope. The Pope comes for a visit and then you can't, you know, everybody throngs to him and, oh, if he could just touch me, if the Pope could just kiss my baby, you know, all that kind of stuff. Can I tell you, he's just a man. He's just a man. But the great God of all the universe has become ours. He has become available to us. I don't have to travel to Philadelphia or Argentina or anywhere else to see him. He is ours. Hallelujah. And you need to get over that inferiority complex of, well, God wouldn't want to hear from me. God's not concerned about me. No. See, you're a player on his team. And he's accomplishing a great mission here on earth. And he's counting on you to do your part and fulfill your role in this drama that is ours. If Gabriel has standing with God and can talk to him as friend, so do you. You can belly right up and talk. You are now on a mission as surely as any patriarch or angel ever was. You are on a mission from God. No wonder that Paul can go on in verse 13 and say, I ask you therefore not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are for your glory. Paul was in prison. And he said, now, don't sweat it. Don't let it bother you the least little bit that I'm in prison. Because I'm on the winning team. Now, it may not look like I'm winning right now, but I'm winning. They may be free and walking around, but they're losing. I might be in chains right now, but soon and very soon, I am going to see the King. These chains will not last forever. These pains will not last forever. I am free and I am whole. Because I am on the winning side. You are too. You are too. I shouldn't say that. I may not look like much today, but I'm soon going to be glorified. Hallelujah. I may not feel like much today, but very soon I'm going to be dancing. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because we are on the winning side. Hallelujah. So don't be discouraged for one another. Don't be overcome with grief that you have a friend in this circumstance or you have a sister struggling with that. Be empathetic. Be caring. Bless them however you can. But understand, this is not forever. This is just for now. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. Anytime the enemy objects, well, you can't do that for them. They're a sinner. You can't. No, that's not right. God just takes them right back to the Word of God and says, no, it's right here. It is written. I wrote it down, and I will follow my book every time. I'm sure that they objected when God started saving Gentiles. You can't do that. Oh, no. Back there in Jeremiah, I wrote it down. It is not enough for for a great God to save just the Jews. I will bring them in too. Hallelujah. It will be said of this one, he too was born in Zion. God sewed it into the fabric of the scriptures, and then you and I are part of the great reveal. Verse 14 in chapter 3. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know his love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in the Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. For this reason, Paul writes. Well, what reason would that be? The reason that you are a part of a great cosmic drama being played out before rulers and authorities in heavenly realms, and you're on God's side. For that reason, because you're on God's side, he kneels down to pray for us. It would be much like you're watching your game. Let's say it's a football game. Let's say that, oh, I don't know, you're a Steeler fan. And they're driving down the field. There's 40 seconds left, but they got 60 yards to go. What are you doing? Well, you're praying for Ben Roethlisberger. You're praying God's blessing on him, and you're asking for a miracle. And, you know, that's the same way Paul says, because you're on God's team, because you're on my team, I'm praying for you. God bless him. God help him to resist that temptation. God help him to overcome that obstacle. God help him to be encouraged and strengthened as they go through this. For this reason, he prays for us that God will fill us with his Spirit and with his strength, that we'll not be discouraged, but encouraged, that we'll not be defeated, but be overcomers. In the name of the Lord, that we will finish this fight that has been started a long time ago. God is able to do in and through you immeasurably more than you can imagine or think. And I can prove that to you. How many have ever said, I can't take it anymore? I can't do this any longer. But you're here this morning, and you've overcome all of that stuff. Did you do it in your own strength? No, you did not. But God made sure that you were able and you had enough. His grace was sufficient to see you through. Now, I'll tell you something else. That will continue on throughout all of eternity. You will never not be able to handle it. You will never not be able to show up, because you're on God's side. You're on God's team. He is doing a work that is much greater than whether you're comfortable today or not. He's fulfilling something in you. You are a dot on that tapestry that without which it wouldn't be complete. It wouldn't be quite as glorious or beautiful. So, stop feeling defeated. Stop praying lame, wimpy prayers. Expect everything you need as you need it to be more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ our Lord. Because it's not about you. It's not your name that is on the line. It's his great name. And he hasn't lost yet. And he won't lose ever. You ever walk away from a game because you thought it was too far gone? Your team was so far down, there was so little time left, that you got so disgusted, you just turned the TV off, you went to bed, or you went to have a snack of some kind, and you found out later it was an epic comeback and you missed it? You went through all of the pain and torture of all of the loss and everything that was against you. We Steeler fans had one of those this last year. Next morning you find out, I didn't have to be miserable all night long. That was a miracle. I missed it because I cut out. You ever watched a movie and it was just too stressful for you? You just had to say, you know what, I can't handle this anymore. I can't. And then you missed the miracle that took place in the midst of it all. Well, let me tell you very seriously. Never walk away from the Lord just because you see no hope. He is a miracle-working God. And He has made precious promises to you. And He will not ever stand in judgment someday where you stand up and say, God, you promised me this and it didn't come about. That's not going to happen. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, you are Lord. You did it right from the very beginning, and you brought it home right on time. God has made us recipients, observers, and participants in His kingdom. Those who faithfully endure the hardest setbacks will receive the greatest rewards in heaven. He's not allowing you to be defeated. He's setting you up for a special place in heaven. When you get to the other side, there will be a great shout of victory because you too are an overcomer. You are a trophy. You are one that He will display before all of the rulers and authorities in heavenly places. Look what I did here, and look what I did there. Would you stand with me today?